afraid of the dark. Just relax and let the darkness fall over you.
Welcome to Afraidish, a podcast where we take a deep dive into the history and paranormal while enjoying some tasty adult beverages. From ghost sightings to hauntings, urban legends and cryptids, let's get weird and afraid-ish together. Welcome to episode 30, the first of our Halloween series.
Yay!
Yay! Yeah, since there's 5 Mondays in October, We're going to have 5 episodes for October.
We're going to try.
Try, yeah. And then hopefully have a Halloween special for Halloween night, Halloween day. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I was thinking about having an episode for Friday the 13th, but I don't know.
That's 6 episodes? No, 7?
7 episodes.
No.
Okay.
That's too many. That's too much work.
We'll see what happens. All right. So let's get into it. Here are...
Are you drinking?
Oh, yeah. Well, I had a blue raspberry beatbox.
Uh-huh.
I drank it all. Now I'm having water.
That's what you're drinking now is water?
Yeah.
Okay.
What are you drinking?
Some lemon limeade that I made.
Nice.
From scratch. With some lime rum. I forget what it's called. Rumhaven.
Yeah. That looked good.
It's pretty good.
Yeah?
Yeah.
All right.
So.
Here are 5 fun facts about Halloween.
Woohoo!
Five fun facts. Number 1. Halloween is the second largest commercial holiday in the United States behind Christmas.
Yep.
Of course. People spend money on costumes, decorations, candy, and parties.
We've been underperforming for years. We're finally starting to catch up.
Yeah.
Capitalism bad, but also Halloween. Yeah. Amazing.
Amazing. Number 2. Halloween is often associated with a full moon, adding to the eerie atmosphere. However, a full moon on Halloween is relatively rare, mm-hmm. occurring approximately every 19 years.
Mm-hmm.
And we just had a full moon. What moon was it?
It was the last supermoon of the year. The last supermoon. I don't know. I'm not an astrologer. I would love to be. I just ain't got the time or the mental capacity.
It's amazing to look at.
Yes, the moon is amazing. Yes. Thought you were gonna say astrology.
Well, astrology is awesome too, yeah. Number 3. Haunted houses and attractions are a popular way to celebrate Halloween. These spooky experiences are designed to give people a good scare and are often set up in abandoned buildings or specially designed structures.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. I've only been to like 2.
I will never go to one.
Yeah.
Never.
They're kind of
I would
fun.
Go to one like not in like in operation.
Yeah.
I would go ghost hunting in like an abandoned one.
Oh, that'd be fun. Fun. Yeah.
Because they're usually in buildings that are, like, supposed to be haunted anyway. That's why they pick the building if they can.
Oh, yeah.
But anyway, go ahead.
Anyways. Number 4. Orange and black are the traditional colors of Halloween.
Yes.
Orange represents the colors of autumn and harvest.
Yes.
While black symbolizes death and darkness.
Yes. And also purple.
Okay.
Purple is a color also often associated with Halloween. And it is, like, the color of the... third eye, connection to spirit, etc.
I didn't find that in my research, but that sounds cool. Pretty cool.
Who would know? The internet? No, I'm just kidding.
The internet knows all.
No, I say like, who would know more, me or the internet? The entire internet. No. I was making a joke.
Anyways, number 5. Some people have a fear of Halloween, known as... Sawinophobia. This fear can be related to spooky imagery, scary decorations, or past negative experiences associated with the holiday.
I mean, it makes sense. It's at least currently, It's a holiday devoted to the celebration of all things terrifying.
Yeah.
Spine tingling. Adrenaline giving.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of people live for that.
Yes.
Yeah. A lot of fun. And now I will give it over to Ashley, who is going to... She's got the story for this episode.
I hope I do you proud. Yeah. If you Google the history Halloween, you'll be assaulted with multiple articles bearing a similar title. The Dark History of Halloween. The Disturbing Origins of Halloween. Etc. But, do these articles truly offer an honest, well-researched history? Or are they simply passing on propaganda?
Propaganda.
Well, you'd be right. The American Halloween we all know and celebrate, unless you're a member of the Moms of Liberty, and in that case, why are you even listening to this podcast?
Yeah.
Maybe nothing more than a commercial cash cow. But how exactly did we get here? Halloween as we know it can trace its roots all the way back to ancient times. It is an amalgamation of mostly ancient Celtic, some Roman, Catholic, and various other traditions. The Celts called it Samhain, spelled S-A-M-H-A-I-N, but definitely pronounced Samhain.
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 Not Samhain.
Not Samhain. Anytime someone's like, Samhain is the witch's holiday, I'm like, oh my God.
You don't know it.
After school special, please shut up.
Yeah.
It is for sure pronounced Samhain. The word etymologically is the Celtic word is pronounced Samhain.
Yes.
But the Romans called it Feralia. I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing that right. And the Catholics would later change its name to All Saints Day. These were generally festivals of gratitude and honoring the ancestors and appeasing the spirits of the other world. To the Celts, Samhain was the last of the harvest festivals. It was the time of Thanksgiving for the abundance of the harvest. Thanksgiving often meant prayers and sacrifices to the gods and the ancestral spirits or the dead. It was also a time of preparation for the harshness of winter that was to come. To our ancestors, winter was a truly terrifying time, especially in what we think of as like Central Europe, Scandinavia, places where it gets very cold. And there's nothing growing. There's no food source or sustenance unless you're like really good at hunting. But even most of the animals are hibernating for the season. So it's a very barren time. And it's dark. It gets dark very early, which can be terrifying to people who have no concept. They don't know what's in the darkness and they don't have any artificial light.
Right.
They rely on fire. While it's tempting to use the word primitive to describe the ancient understanding of the world, that does not sit right with me. They simply had a different relationship with nature and did their best to make sense of the things that they didn't understand. In the harsh glare of artificial lights and central heating, it's easy for us to mock superstition. But what if all of our modern comforts and scientific hubris have closed us off from things that our ancestors were deeply connected to? In an effort to stave off sickness, famine, and death, the ancient world developed various customs to appease the spirits and the gods that they believed controlled nature. In the autumn, they focused on giving thanks for the harvest and asking for protections from the dangers of winter. The festival of Samhain is one such custom, and while it's impossible to know all of the intricacies and contexts of the celebrations, we can extrapolate bits and pieces from the historical records. As we are focusing on American Halloween, it is important that I mention that the history that we'll be focusing on is predominantly European, mainly Celtic, some Germanic.
Okay.
But it's also important to mention that many cultures from around the world have their own similar customs. Some practice this time of year. Others practice at various other times of the year. And, I mean, who the fuck's to say who has it correct and who doesn't?
Right.
So
you're going to get into how America got their idea of Halloween?
Yeah.
Okay.
Pretty much. Like, where the things that we do today as a culture, where do those things come from?
Okay.
What was the origination? And it's a pretty wild ride. To the ancient Celts, Samhain marked the end of the agricultural year and the beginning of the winter or dark half of the year. The holy day was originally observed on November 1st, but at the time, the calendar was set up so that the day began and ended at sunset and ended at sunset. So okay. Instead of from sunrise to sunrise the next day, it's sunset to sunset.
So sunset on the 31st to sunset on the 1st. Okay.
Exactly.
Nice.
So that's how we get our date of October 31st being when we observe the holiday. But famously, our neighbors to the south have their holiday Dia de los Muertos, which they celebrate on November 1st, which they also start at, I believe, they start at sunset on October 31st and then continue through to November 1st.
That's cool. Yeah.
Irish mythology was originally only a spoken tradition passed down orally from generation to generation. In the early Middle Ages, Christian monks did begin writing it down to preserve it. But since it was Christian monks who wrote it, much of the information is biased through a Christian lens. So they're going to be demonizing certain aspects and making it probably much more horrific than it actually was.
Of course they are.
Yeah. Although there is evidence to support some of the more horrific claims as well. So who really knows? Again, we have no way to know what things were truly like because we do not live back then. So who can say? But...
Well, they are known to demonize a lot of stuff.
Yes, but there is actual physical evidence to support some of the things that they say about the barbarians.
Oh.
That's all. Yeah. Yes, it is. It is very biased, but also... history is uncomfy.
Yeah, it's true.
Can't just claim it all on bias. That's all I'm trying to say. See, you interrupted me now. I'm
sorry.
It's okay. God damn it. Gee. But it is the only record we have, and for the most part, it is... We owe a lot of what most of what I'm having a hard time speaking today.
That's me every day.
We owe it to them because we wouldn't know what we know if they didn't write it down, with their bias.
Right.
That's what I was trying to say. Anyway, according to the mythology, Samhain, like Beltane or Beltana, on May 1st was a time when the veil between the realm of man and the realm of the other world thinned, allowing supernatural beings known as the IOC, I think that's how it's pronounced, and the souls of the dead to come into our world. Beltane and Samhain were technically mirror images of each other. Beltane was a holiday celebrated for the living, lots of fertility rites, things like that, blessing the seeds that had just been sown, praying for a good harvest. Samhain was a holiday for the dead and the dying world. Everything was going to sleep, and then it would resurrect again in the spring. So Samhain was very much time for the dead.
Nice.
The Boyhood Deeds of Fionn says that the fairy mounds, or portals to the other world, were always open at Samhain. Each year, the fire breather island emerges from the other world and burns down the Palace of Tara, the ancestral seat of the great Irish kings, during the Samhain festival, after he lures everyone to sleep with his music. One Samhain, the young Fionn Mac Hummel, is able to stay awake, and he slays Eileen with a magical spear, for which he is then made leader of the Fiona. Some tales suggest offerings or sacrifices were made at Samhain. In the Book of Invasions, each Samhain, the people of Nemed, had to give 2/3 of their children, their corn, and their milk to the monstrous Fomorians. The Fomorians seemed to be spirits that represented the harmful or destructive powers of nature, personifications of chaos, darkness, death, blight, disease, and drought. This tribute, paid by Nemed's people, may represent a sacrifice offered at the beginning of winter when the powers of darkness and blight are in the ascendant. According to Ladderworks, the Annals of the Four Masters, and I'm going to butcher this word, Dinshechas. I tried to look up how to pronounce that, and the internet was not very helpful. It is either a Welsh or Gaelic word, and I'm so sorry if I pronounced that wrong. Which, again, were written by Christian monks. Samhain in ancient Ireland was associated with a god called Crumcrach. The texts claim that a firstborn child would need to be sacrificed at the stone idol of Crumcrach in, my Sikh. They say that King Tygamas and 3/4 of his people died 1 year on Samhain worshipping Crumcrach.
That is insane. So 2/3 of your kids had to be sacrificed.
No, just the firstborn child.
Oh.
So if that's 2/3 of the population, our firstborn children.
So altogether, your children, your crops, and everything, 2/3 of everything?
This is a folklore tale.
Well,
There's no way to know if this was historically something that happened or if this was just propaganda used by the kings to get the people to make sacrifices.
I mean, I wouldn't doubt that it really happened because, you know, the firstborn back in, like, ancient times, they used to do that. Allegedly,
not, I guess. Not every firstborn in the village, though, is what I've... This may be, like I said, propaganda.
Right.
A tale told by the people in power to keep the people below them from rising up. That's all I'm saying. In other tales, there are legends of kings who were subjected to a threefold death. The king's dearmit, Mecherbel, and another called Mershitash. Oh my god, this is awful. Erke are two such kings who were sacrificed to appease the gods and spirits of the other world. There is physical evidence that the threefold death was a form of human sacrifice that was being practiced during this historical time period. Evidence found in bodies that have been dug up in various bogs. Two extremely famous bog bodies. Where did they go? Lindo Man and Old Krogan Man are examples of this threefold death. They were both garroted or hung, had their throats cut, and then drowned.
That is crazy.
And there is no evidence to suggest that they were unwilling. There's no sign of a struggle, no sign that they fought back. So, were these bodies the bodies of kings that were sacrificed? Were they willing participants, believing that their deaths would benefit the lives of their community?
Yes, yes, they were.
While there is little evidence that they were sacrificed on Samhain, it is interesting to speculate.
I always speculate.
So, the Wild Hunt is another legend that is often associated with Samhain, although it is also known to have associations with other various times of the year, including Yule, or also known as the Winter Solstice. During the Wild Hunt, it is said that a monstrous hunting party of otherworldly beings runs through the countryside. The description of the hunters are grotesque and gruesome and could be likened to modern encounters with, quote, demonic entities. They are described as being blacker than the night, riding on shadowy horses and he-goats, and being joined by black dogs with glowing eyes. Depending on the culture, some of the hunters may even be fairies, valkyries, or elves. Sometimes a god like Odin is leading the hunt. Other times it's a long-dead king or tribal leader. Other much less gruesome Samhain traditions involve huge bonfires. It is said that on October 3rd... There's what a happened? Whole part about the the wild hunt that's gone.
Oh, no.
It was said that if you witness the wild hunt, it was basically a harbinger of doom, kind of like a banshee.
Right.
It would either foretell that there was going to be famine or disease or a war or some type of other great tragedy, or at the very least, if you were lucky, it would foretell the death of the individual who saw it. So there were various things that people would do to protect themselves from seeing the wild hunt if it was a time of year when it was supposed to happen.
Right.
But all of the information I cut out of my script, apparently.
Oh, that sucks.
Other much less gruesome Samhain traditions involve huge bonfires. It is said that on October 31st, families would let their fires burn out while they went about their daily chores. This was the last day of the harvest. They were very busy trying to get their livestock moved from summer pasture to winter pasture. And so they would let their fires burn out. They wouldn't take time to stoke them throughout the day. And then in the evening, everybody in the area, the entire village or even wider community would gather and they would light huge bonfires. And then at the end of the gathering, everybody would take a little bit of that fire home and light a fire in their hearth. And then they would stoke that fire continuously throughout the year until they let it burn out the following Samhain.
That's crazy.
It was said that the flames from this magical bonfire would offer protective and blessing purposes. Another thing, because the veil between the worlds was so thin, Samhain was also seen as a great time to divine. It was believed that mortals could more easily communicate with spirits to prophesy the future. Over the centuries, there have been many forms of spirit communication. It is believed that a medium could enter into a trance, whether through the use of intoxicating substances or either the use of chanting, drumming, or esoteric dancing. Sometimes things like bones would be thrown, or it's called casting of bones. You see however the bones fell, certain patterns tell you certain things.
Yeah.
There is speculation that at the end of a threefold death, you could divine using how the person died, certain patterns and certain parts of the ritual, etc. I don't want to get too gruesome with details, but basically there was, they speculate that they would divine by watching how the person being sacrificed died. And then there were other ways, just like general trance prophecy, as I mentioned before. As the centuries progressed and the Roman Catholic Church overtook most of Europe, ancient customs proved to be difficult to snuff out. Initially, when the Romans would invade, they would simply incorporate their customs with the local customs. There were usually lots of similarities already, and the Romans believed the more gods, the merrier. They saw a lot of similarities between local gods and deities to some of their own, so they made connections that way. And a lot of the festivals tended to be held on, what's the word I'm looking for? Astrologically important dates. So astrology is pretty much the same all across the Northern right. Hemisphere. So if it's a solstice, a lot of cultures are going to be having things on solstices.
Oh, yeah.
Full moons, etc. So a lot of these rituals, especially if your climate was similar, had similar meanings. So it was just really easy for the Romans to kind of let... It sounds awful because they were still, like, subjugating people against their will. But they were like, well, you can keep your religion.
Yeah.
Like, great. Cool. Mercy, dude. But as Rome adopted Christianity, it became much more aggressive, forcing the new doctrine on the local people. While it is true that there were many wars that were fought in the name of evangelism, much of the conquest of Christianity would be bloodless. They would usually try to draw parallels between local beliefs and the new folklore of the, quote, one true God. So holidays such as Samhain would simply be absorbed into the dominating religion. The rituals would be sanitized and ordained by priests, and the name changed to All Saints Day. Rather than honoring the old gods, ancestors, and spirits of the other world, attention would be paid to honoring saints and praying for the souls of your beloved dead so that they would not stay in purgatory. Mumming and guising were Samhain traditions in some areas. It was first recorded in the 16th century Scotland, and later in parts of Ireland, Man, and Wales. Mumming and guising involve people going from house to house in disguise, usually reciting some songs or verses in exchange for food. It may be a descent of a much more ancient tradition in which people impersonated the IOC or the souls of the dead. Impersonating the spirits could have been believed to protect you from them. Perhaps they believed that dressing up as a spirit and receiving offerings on their behalf was a way to honor them and ingratiate yourself to them for the coming year. According to Wikipedia, S.V. Peddle suggests the geysers personify the old spirits of the winter who demand reward in exchange for good fortune. In the countryside of 16th century Scotland, young men would wear masks, painted or blackened their faces, and go from house to house demanding food and threatening to do mischief if they weren't invited in. It has been suggested that they blackened their faces with the ashes of the great bonfire, hoping for the protective power of the ash. In the late 18th century Ireland, peasants would go from house to house demanding food for a feast. They are thought to have demanded this as an offering to Saint Chomhilly. And in southern Ireland, in the 19th century, a man masked himself in a white sheet and led a group of costumed youth from house to house, blowing horns and reciting verses, some of which, quote, savored strongly of paganism.
OMG.
The farmer was then expected to donate food in the hopes that doing so would grant them good fortune in the coming year.
Yeah.
The geysers needed a way to light their path. It is believed that these costumed pranksters would have carved faces into root vegetables such as turnips, in which they would then place a lighted candle. These lanterns may have been placed in windowsills with the hopes that the lantern would protect against evil spirits. Used especially in East England, the earliest known use of the term jack-o'-lantern dates to the 1660s. And was originally used to describe the elusive visual phenomenon ignis fatuus, or in Britain known as the... What the fuck? Oh my god, I cut out the will-o'-wisp. Or something. What the fuck?
You cut a lot of stuff out.
It was probably the cat.
Oh, yeah.
Walking on my... keyboard.
She likes to be a little bitch. She does it to me. Every time I'm like researching, she likes to like clam on me and clam on my laptop. And...
She only wants to snuggle when you can't snuggle. Yeah. It's so it's bad. Crazy. But anyway, will-o'-the-wisp. The Oxford English Dictionary records the use of the term jack-o'-lantern in Britain from 1656 in reference to the will-o'-the-wisp, and from 1704 on, it is used in reference to a man with a lantern or a night watchman. It was more of like an occupation. You were a jack-o'-lantern.
Right.
The OED, the Oxford English Dictionary, gives the date of 1837 as the earliest date for when the term was used to refer to a lantern carved from a turnip.
That's pretty cool.
I think it's pretty safe to see where many of our modern-day Halloween customs come from.
Right.
Do you have any questions that still need answered, or are you putting the pieces together?
I already know the history, but it's pretty cool.
Oh, you already know the history?
Yes. I listen to podcasts.
Oh, okay. Well, did I get right?
They do the same research as you just did. It's the same exact history. My goodness.
Anyway, in our modern day, unfortunately, Samhain gets a bad rap.
Yep.
There's a lot of misinformation about Samhain. And while looking through the history, if some of the things that happened are true, they are truly terrifying.
Yeah.
But when looking at history, you cannot impose modern values on ancient people.
Right.
The world just wasn't the same. Would we do that today? No. That's what makes it today and not then.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Yes. So, in our modern day, there are some groups trying to revive the ancient traditions. Some people are very extremely stern reconstructionists, emphasizing historical accuracy, while others seek to reclaim and reinvent traditions of the past to fit more neatly into a modern context. Many neo-pagans celebrate Samhain in one way or another. There are many paths in neo-paganism, so the individual celebrations and customs may be different depending on who you talk to. So whenever somebody says, this is a Samhain thing, I mean, it's not to someone.
Right.
It is to someone, it's not to someone. Some people like to hold huge gatherings of people with big bonfires and rituals with the intention of releasing. Other people prefer more somber affair. There is a tradition called a silent supper. The premise of a silent supper is all attendees remain completely silent throughout the entire meal. There's no talking, no can you pass the salts. Some groups will like get together ahead of time and rehearse hand signals in case you need to pass something or something so that you don't interrupt the ritual by speaking.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
A seat at the head of the table will be set and served, but no human guest sits in that seat. That seat is reserved for the spirits of any dead ancestors, or if you're lucky, any deities or local spirits that want to pop in and visit during the ritual. Many people who believe in spirit communication will use the aforementioned thinned veil between this dimension and the next, facilitating better spirit communication. So many pagans, witches, and other spiritual practitioners will take this time to communicate with spirits. They might use a talking board or spirit board or Ouija board, whatever you want to call it. Scrying mirrors, scrying bowls, crystal balls, tarot cards, pendulums, or any other of the multitudinous tools and techniques that can be used for divination and spirit communication. While in our modern culture, Samhain is more likely to be misunderstood and misrepresented by pop culture and, let's be honest, Christian-based propaganda, Samhain is not an evil holiday where witches and Satan worshippers summon demons and practice human sacrifice. I mean, sure, you're probably going to get a few unhinged people out there doing crazy shit, but to use it as a blanket statement to say that it refers to every neo-pagan, Wiccan, witch, whatever in the world is just lunacy,
yeah.
If I'm being honest.
Not everything like that is demonic.
Right. One man's demon is another man's god, and I'm not saying that facetiously. Like, that's legitimately true.
Do you know Lucifer is a deity? Right?
He's the morning star.
Yeah.
The light bringer.
Yep. But Lilith. According to some people, Lucifer is the devil. And
Lilith is a goddess to some people. Yep. She, for most of her mythology, she has technically been what we would consider a demon.
But, right.
I mean,
you know, our beliefs are different than other beliefs. And
well, I don't want to get into Lilithian mysteries right now. That's not what this is about. Anyway, moving on. Most neo-pagans are just trying to deepen our relationship and understanding of the cycles of life and death. Yes, some neo-pagans, Wiccans, witches may summon spirits, but we do not believe that those spirits are in any way evil, nor do we intend to harness them for evil. Some neo-pagans just believe and are searching for proof that there are energies out there that we may never fully understand.
Right. There's a lot we can never understand, really.
I mean, there's a lot we will never understand, right, ever, 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 ever.
Not like, as humans, anyway.
Yeah. And maybe seeking to understand it is fool's errand, but I don't know.
Maybe sometimes that's what life's about for some people.
Depends on who you are, I guess.
Yeah.
Is it worth it?
Life is a mystery. Only
if you are very, 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 very strong.
Right.
Anyway, that's all I have.
That's it.
That's it.
That was really cool. I love the history of... Well, I love the Celtic history. Uh-huh. I love the history of Halloween and uh-huh. how it became...
Well, the capitalist hellscape that it is today.
Yeah, well... Gotta have capitalism.
Mm-hmm. Well, and there's also, like, there are things that I didn't get into because they're not necessarily specifically associated with Halloween. And that may be why part of the whole Wild Hunt thing may have been cut out. I think I decided I wasn't going to talk about it. But then maybe I didn't cut it all the way out.
Right.
So I started reading it. But there are things like this. There's idea that a lot of shamanic practices are based around, where when you think of a shaman, like an ancient Nordic shaman, you picture a man in like wolf skin or bear skin.
Right.
Beating a drum, like trying to enter an alternate state of consciousness. And that is also a potential jumping off point for why people started dressing up as creatures in the first place, by becoming that thing.
Right.
By embodying whatever power or gifts that creature possessed, like, or attempting to, anyway. You know right. what I mean?
Yeah.
So there's also that aspect to it, but that's something that a lot of cultures do, not specifically for certain times of the year, etc. So I wanted to stick to like the facts, but there's so much more that's like nebulous around it. That's just right. So like there's so many little side shoots that you could go down, which is why I had a very difficult time researching, because I wanted to go down all the little side shoots, but I had to rein myself in.
I wouldn't have been mad about it.
Yeah, I didn't have the time.
I know.
You'd have never gotten this episode.
I know. It was still really good, though. I liked it.
Well, thank you.
I hope everybody likes this episode.
Yeah, I worked really hard on it. If you don't like it, you're an asshole.
No. I liked it. I love the history of Halloween and the Celtic history. I've always wanted to go to Ireland and Scotland. It's kind of my heritage area.
I would love to go there as well, but I would also like to go to Scandinavia.
Yes.
So, and a lot of the, I don't know, I personally feel like Nordic and Celtic mythologies play really well together.
They do, yeah.
They play better together than Celtic and Greek, but we're not having that conversation right now.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
From my personal experience. Yeah. Just my personal experience.
Anyway. Thanks, Apollo.
Yeah, thanks. Pal.
Anyways. I hope everybody liked this. The first of 5, and then we'll have a Halloween special. Hopefully.
Yay.
That's my goal, anyways.
Yay.
Tis my goal. And I'm still working on merch. Hopefully get that up and running within a month. I'm so, what do you call it? I guess OCD or anal about how
OCD is a diagnosable mental health condition. It is not a quirk.
Okay, not OCD. Then
you're being very particular.
Yes, about how I want the merch to look like.
Mm-hmm.
So
being particular.
Yes.
That is an adjective. That is a descriptive word for how you're behaving. Not a mental health conditional diagnosable by a psychiatrist.
All right. Well, I do have mental health issues. Well, but anyways.
Don't we all?
Working on that. Next week, we will have my story.
Yay!
So, listen for that.
And you want to give him a hint? Or no?
No, because I forgot.
Okay.
It's done, but I forgot. And I don't have it pulled up.
Oh,
it'll
no.
be good. It'll be good.
Oh, shit.
If you have any stories or requests of anything you want to hear about or know anyone who does, please email me at afraidishpodcast@gmail.com. Email me anything, really. Instagram and Facebook at afraidishpodcast. Tell me what haunted location you want to hear about or any paranormal thing. Because I'm looking for more places, more haunted places. After the Halloween season, I do have one lined up.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's going to be really interesting.
Yeah.
All the links will be in the show notes. I have this on YouTube as audio, but not video. You can listen on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Pandora, and almost anywhere you listen to podcasts. Also, rate and review on Apple Podcasts and rate on Spotify. 5 stars, please. Right now, I'm at like 4.2 stars or something like that.
Oh, people don't like me.
No, it's probably me. I don't know.
Do you read the reviews?
There's only like 7 written reviews, but they're most of them. The Spotify ones are just ratings.
Okay.
So. You can now support this show with a small monthly donation to help sustain future episodes if you want to. This will help with updating recording equipment and other necessities for the podcast. And then when I get around to getting Patreon up and running, you can support that way, which hopefully will have some paranormal investigating videos, maybe.
Maybe.
Hopefully. The link for that will be in the show notes. And I'm about to start a merch store, like I said, and would love to feed the feedback about what kind of merch you guys want. And yeah. Exploring the unknown and mysterious is always interesting, just like trying a new flavor of an adult beverage. Like a cryptid, the taste may be unfamiliar initially, but discovering something unique and exciting makes it worth the adventure. Until next time, don't be afraid of the dark.
Be afraid-ish of what's in it.
Bye.
Bye.
Pretty cool.
Who would know? The internet? No, I'm just kidding.
The internet knows all.
No, I was saying, like, who would know more, me or the internet? The entire internet. No. I was making a joke.